ओम ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य गणञ्जनाशलाकय चक्षुर्मूलतं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाकदाभायं ददाति सततान्तिकम् पञ्चकौपातुरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभयेद च पतितानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासदे गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're at the story of Rajanath coming to Krishna consciousness. And as you remember, his family was upset because not only was he coming to Krishna consciousness, not only was he coming to Krishna consciousness, but his family wanted to get him to get married. Of course, I always make the point that bhakti is not renunciation, it's dedication. But you dedicate what you have, and some people serve better from a position of renunciation. And it's important to serve from your particular proclivity or strength. But it's very, very hard to understand in a family when someone takes to renunciation because they leave the family. And renunciation always kind of has a bad name in the sense that it's really such a high qualification to take sannyas that many, many people falter. If they don't break the principles, they don't live by the life of simplicity. So there is a natural reluctance to it. Even Lord Chaitanya and Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to take sannyas. He sent them back. So there is a natural, there's a reason why people should be very cautious when someone close to them takes sannyas. Not that no one's qualified, but many who do are not. Just like Aborijan Prabhu once told me, you know, that if someone is a little independent, has some desires, then they get married and they get a facility for independence and enjoyment, but they have the austerity of a wife. But if a sannyasi takes material facilities too luxuriously, then they have no means of getting purified. The parents were a little bit upset, and they sent their cousin, who was very devious and non-Vaishnava and envious, tried to cause a rift between him and his guru by spreading lies on either side. But his guru just, you know, he had perception. He knows who is who. There are qualities of a Vaishnava, and you can't fake it in front of an advanced devotee because he knows what the symptoms are. So one will be exposed. But anyway, Vrajanath was kind of devastated and went to his guru, Babaji Maharaj. His guru said, you know, don't worry about it. I understood. And then Vrajanath continued his education. And he wanted to know how people get free from the clutches of Maya. And Babaji Maharaj quoted the seventh Dashamula, 10 root instructions that explain the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which he has been systematically teaching Prajna and how to get out of the clutches of Maya, you got to meet a devotee. And by meeting the devotee, get a taste of the holy name. And reawaken your relationship with Krishna. And Vrajanath wants some evidence from the Vedas to verify this. And his guru, of course, gives it. Whether you have faith in guru or not, it's always good to hear pramana. Pramana, evidence from Shastra. Because that solidifies the faith. Because guru is one who represents Shastra. So you have faith in your guru, whatever he says, but when you also substantiate it from Shastra, it has a deeper effect. So he gave pramana. And then Vrajanath, you know, asked about liberation, and Babaji made it clear that liberation is liberation in itself is not our attainment. Because that just frees us from the clutches of Maya, but doesn't describe or establish where that puts one. And if it doesn't put one in his true nature, which is a servant of Krishna, it will never last. Anything that's artificial will never last. Nasate vidyate bhavo, nabhavo vidyate. So things that are temporary have no real existence. Things that are temporary are a construct of the mind. Because what exists is God, and it's eternal. His illusory energy is eternal. He's eternal. The living entity is eternal. So the temporal nature of things is just the temporal nature of the combination of things, not the substance of things. So it's not real liberation. It's vimukta manias. It's imaginary. If you think a liberation is just to negate the material existence and become one with Brahman, that's a mental concept. That's something that doesn't actually exist. We're not one with Brahman. Because it has no basis in reality, you won't stay there. Yenye within Daksha Vamukta Manias, Twayasta Bhava Vishuddha Buddhya, Ruya Kachena Param Padat, Yajata Nishmanangraha. It's Vamukta Manias, Twayasta Bhava Vishuddha. The intelligence, the conception is not pure, and one will still fall down. So he says, no, real deliberation is Sarupena Vivastita, to be situated in your Sarup. And then Vrajanath, well, what are the symptoms of those who are liberated from Maya? And he gives all the different symptoms, that you're free from sinful activity, you're not subject to birth, death, you don't decay, you know, you never come to an end, you know, sensual desires, so many things. So then Vrajanath wants further elucidation of the Dashamula, and he explains, if you can attain pious, you can attain Hari Bhakti by pious activities such as Astanga Yoga or Brahmagyan. And Babaji quotes, it's a famous verse in the 11th canto, Yoga Nashankyam Dharma Eva. Krishna says I'm not controlled by even sannyas, performing sacrifices, vows, pilgrimage, study of the Vedas, only by satsang, only by getting the association of devotees will I be controlled. And describes that association, the famous thing, like a crystal ball, which reflects what's in its proximity. So we reflect what we associate with, and we think we're that. So when we associate with the modes of nature, we think we're that. And at the same time, we associate with a pure devotee, his qualities come to us. So the association of pure devotees are the root cause of all good fortune. And then Babaji continues to explain, even unintentional associations with saintly people is brings good fortune to the jiva. And he gives so many various references. So then Vrajanath asks, you have said the association of Sudha Bhaktis is achieved by Sukriti. What is Sukriti? Is it karma or knowledge? Is it karma again? He said, no. The only real Sukriti, there are two types of auspicious of karma, and one gives bhakti, and one gives a result of liberation, but it's very inferior. And karma gives irrelevant results. So the only auspicious activities that give bhakti as an end result, bhakti pradasya kriti, are associating with Shuddha bhaktis and with places, times and things that bestow bhakti. So what's really good karma is associating with objects of bhakti. Places, times, things that give bhakti. Times are like Akadasi and Janmashtami. Things are like devotees, prasadam. Places are like a temple, holy places. This gives you bhakti pada sukriti. You come to the temple, you meet devotees, and it builds up. And that gives rise to Krishna bhakti. Other sukritis, when you get the benefit, you use it, it's gone. He's explaining. Bhakti is not gone. And then he says, activities such as sadhu sangha, observing the Kadasi, Janmasthami, Kaur Purnima, all help one's saintly qualities. Tulsi, Mahaprasad, the temple, holy places, sadhu vastu, the things that are associated with sadhu, are auspicious in touching them or obtaining their darshans, are pious deeds that give rise to bhakti. And then Vrajanath asked, I'm just catching up to where we are, can a person obtain bhakti if he's tormented by material problems and take shelter of Lord Hari's lotus feet in full knowledge to become relieved of this problem? Let me read that again. Can a person obtain bhakti if he is tormented by material problems and take shelter of Sri Hari's lotus feet in full knowledge to become relieved of his problems? So people come to become relieved from distress, and it's a motive. Can you obtain bhakti if you do that? So Babaji says, yes, people get distress, and therefore, in that motive to relieve distress, they take shelter, they take solace of Krishna's lotus feet or the devotees. So they take shelter. And the first step in that shelter is surrendering to the devotees. And the principal outcome of that is you get bhakti pradasukriti. And by that, you obtain the lotus feet of Krishna. So you're in distress, take shelter of God or Krishna. And if you do, that sukriti will give you bhakti, not renunciation or wisdom. The association of bhaktas is the only way to attain bhakti. There's no other recourse. Everything is in sadhu sangha. Rajanath, if karma, gyan, renunciation, and wisdom are secondary ways of achieving bhakti. So he said, yes, they'll bring you to the devotee who will bring you to bhakti. They won't bring you to bhakti itself. Indirectly, they'll bring you to bhakti. So if karma, gyan, and renunciation and wisdom are secondary ways of achieving bhakti, what is the objective of causing bhakti prada? So if they lead to the association of devotees, and the association of devotees leads to bhakti, then why not call them bhakti prada sukriti? And the reason is because in themselves, they don't. But they may give, they may cause you to take shelter as a devotee. But those activities in themselves will not do anything for you. And they bind you, even if you take shelter of devotee, those activities, they bind you to temporary results. The performance of karma is a temporary result, but it binds to the jiva, to the objects of sense gratification. And renunciation and jnana and vairagya only lead the jiva as far as knowledge of Brahman. And this conception of impersonal supreme principle prevents him from attaining Bhagavan's lotus feet. Consequently, they cannot be called bhakti pradasukriti. It is true that they sometimes take one to bhakti, but that is not the usual course of events. Sadhu Sangha, on the other hand, definitely does not award any secondary benefit, but possibly brings the jiva towards praying. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Satam Pasangam Mamavirya Sampadho Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Kata Majoshanara Yashavarga Vartmani Shadhavatir Bhakti Arukabhasyati. So when you this verse says, when you associate with devotees, it's so pleasing to the heart, the ears. And by this association with the devotees, you progressively attain Shraddha, Bhava, and Prema Bhakti. By association with devotees, they appear all at once, just as like when one is eating, the pain of hunger, the satisfaction, and the taste come all at once. And Brajanath questions, I understand that Sadhu Sangha is the only sukriti that gives rise to bhakti. One has to listen to Hari Katha from the mouths of sadhus, and thereafter one obtains bhakti. Is this the proper sequence to bhakti? Okay, so now I think we're up to what I think that's all a review of the past. So let's read and comment. So you want to know if this is the proper. Is this the proper sequence to bhakti? You hear Hari Katha, the mouths of sadhus, and then you obtain bhakti. Is this the proper sequence to progress bhakti? First the sadhu, then bhakti. Is this the sequence? Babaji, I will explain in proper way of progressing in bhakti. Listen attentively. Only by good fortune does the jiva who is wandering throughout the universe achieve the sukriti that gives rise to bhakti. One of the many limbs of pure bhakti may touch a jiva's life. For example, he may fast on ekadasi or serve a guest who happens to be a shuddha bhakta, which is the whole purpose of vanashram. You open your doors to sadhus. You satisfy yourself materially. You try to get sadhu sangha. And if you do that, then there's a chance that a devotee may come. If someone desires material benefit or personal liberation from such activities, the resultant sukriti does not lead to devotional service. So if you're trying to extract something with motive, then you may not get that result. You may not get the result even if you're associating with a devotee. That's what it's saying here. For example, you may fast on ekadasi or touch or visit the holy places of Bhagavan's pastimes. How if an innocent person performs any of these activities, either unknowingly or out of habit, without desire for material sense and gratification and first liberation, these activities lead to the accumulation of bhakti pada sukriti. So you can also perform these activities to get the sukriti, which is unknowingly, and you can get benefit. After accumulating such sukriti for many births, it becomes concentrated enough to give faith and pure bhakti. And then when faith and bhakti is undivided, one develops a desire to associate with the Suddha Bhaktas. So this kind of sukriti may take many, 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 many births. And then by that piety, so it's all a question of what leads to bhakti, what type of sukriti leads to bhakti. And if you do devotional activities for material benefit or personal liberation, the resultant sukriti does not lead to devotional activity. But if you're innocent, you don't know any better, these activities could lead to the accumulation of bhakti for das. Yes, after accumulating such sukriti for many births, it becomes concentrated enough to give the jiva in pure bhakti. When that faith is undivided, one develops a desire to associate with Shuddha Bhaktas. So, you know, when you serve the devotee, it accumulates until the faith rises to the level where you're actually becomes concentrated in pure bhakti. And when it's undivided, then you develop a taste for associating with devotees. And then he describes the step-by-step progression of Rupa Goswami, Adao Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Priya. Adao Shraddha means it begins with faith. It begins with somehow or other the association of a pure devotee, association of the holy name, being receptive enough that it touches our heart. This is kind of, I described this yesterday, there may be a little space in our heart that can grow with faith or contract with doubt. And that is kind of the spiritual opening. The way it kind of works is God puts us through so many experiences in life that humble us, that teach us we're not the controller. Somehow or other, we become situated in a time where we're vulnerable we're open to spiritual experience. And that opening within the mind, in contact with the holy name given by a devotee, it's like a opening to the soul. Your soul becomes stirred with feeling of love and devotion that becomes the singular goal of your life. And that's what faith is. And it's nourished by the association of devotees, by the practice. And then it grows and grows and grows until at prema, there's nothing else in your consciousness but love. But it grows gradually, and it's got to be constantly nourished by constantly having the association of devotees and hearing from them and chanting the holy name in a mood of service. Service is also a platform of humility, that opening up of the mind to spiritual experience, to the Shakti of God, to the Shakti of things in relationship to God. And what is that potency? It can stir our hearts and make us want to serve God. Okay, she says, the principal idea is that when people with sufficient sukriti have darshan of Shuddha Bhaktis, they develop an inclination to proceed on the path of bhakti. One associates with a Shuddha Bhakta by chance, and this leads to initial Shraddha, whereupon he gets the association in the of the devotees a second time. So the first time is you get the sukriti, then you begin to practice. And by that practice, it leads you back into the association of the pure devotees who may have inspired you initially. The result of the first association, is Shraddha, which can be determined surrender, Sharanagati. So the Shraddha means I have faith in the will of God. In the will of the absolute truth, which is a truth that is, it's a truth forgot what I'm saying. I get up so early, like 1 o'clock, so at 8 o'clock sometimes I'm a little fatigued. Let me get my wits, be right with you. So we're talking about faith. Faith is the soul. It's when you feel the soul, that's faith. And objects of devotion can bring out the nature of the soul. For one who, it can bring out the nature of the soul, one who is without offense. They're open to the experience. And that has a very powerful effect on one. And the symptom of developing such faith, he quotes Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sarva dharmam pritya mame kam sharanam vaja aham tvam sarva papyebhyo mokshayami. And here the word sarva dharma implies worldly duties. If you give up your worldly duties, your worldly duties, he's saying, and you take the Krishna consciousness. So it applies sarva dharma means worldly duties. So you give up your worldly duties. You give up the stanga yoga, sankhya yoga, jnana, renunciation. The jiva can never attain his ultimate goal by practicing all these dharmas, which is why the instruction here is to give them up. You want to use it for health, it's one thing, but if you use it for self-realization, give that up. It can't bring you that far. Sri Krishna says, my form of pure and condensed Satchidananda appearing as Vrajavilas, the form of wonderful activities in Krishna, is the only shelter for the jiva. Because when you hear about Krishna, who's the supreme object of love, and you hear about the devotees who are the supreme subject of love. And by hearing, you have cultivated some desire to appreciate Krishna. These things will stir love in your heart. That's what he's saying. So Jiva can never achieve his ultimate goal. And that's why Krishna says, give them up. That pastimes of Krishna. What Vasudev said, is your shelter. When you understand that that's your shelter, that that's where you'll really get satisfied at heart. It's so amazing. We do so many things which we know are not good for us. So Krishna's saying here, give up those things that are anartha. Give up those things that are no good for us. When one understands this, he gives up all desire for bhakti, material, and material sense enjoyment and mukti, and personal liberation, and with undivided attention, takes shelter of me. So when you understand this, that Krishna will protect you, and you take full shelter of him, and therefore, you give up the desire for material enjoyment, or Brahman, realization or understanding, take shelter in me. This is what Krishna is saying. This is known as Pravritti Rupa Shraddha, the exclusive tendency to engage in Krishna's service. When such a faith dawns in the jiva's heart, with tears in his eyes, he resolves to become a follower of Vaishnava sadhu. The Vaishnava of whom he takes shelter at that point is the guru. Bhajanath, how many types of anarthas does the jiva have? There are four types of anarthas. Sarupa Brahma, being an illusion about one's spiritual identity. Two, Asat Krishna, thirsty for temporary material enjoyments. And Aparada, offense. And Hidaya Dolyava, weakness of heart. The jiva's first anartha, namely Sarups Brahman, the first anartha is forgetting and understanding that the I, the pure spiritual spark, is Krishna's servant and being carried away from his original spiritual position. When the jiva considers that he and his dead material possessions are me and mine, he develops three types of asat Krishna, desire to enjoy temporary material pleasures. They are the desire for a son, for wealth, and for celestial pleasures. There are 10 types of aparada offenses, which I discuss later. The jiva is grief-stricken because of hridaya doryada, weakness of heart. Sometimes we just can't control ourselves, even though we know it's bad. These four types of anarthas are inherent in the jiva, who has been caught by ignorance, and they are removed gradually by the cultivating of Krishna consciousness, the association of Shuddha Bhaktas. The fourfold path of yoga consists of withdrawal from sense objects, pratyahara, self-control, following rules and regulations. It consists of four types of sense objects, pratyahara, self-control, yama, following the rules and regulations, niyama, renunciation, vairagya. This process is not the proper means to find oneself, to free oneself from material anxiety, but it is difficult to attain perfection, and there is always a risk of falling down. The only way to become free from all anxiety is to cultivate pure Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees. Thus, the jiva is free from Maya's stranglehold, and his constitutional position is revealed to the extent that anartha should be removed from his heart. Can people with no trace of anartha be termed liberated persons? That's the next question. I'm pretty tired and exhausted. I'm just going to have to go to bed now. If anyone would like to say hello, that would be nice. Someone say hello.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for trying to stick with us.
I tried.
Yeah, it was heartwarming to see your effort.
I don't even remember what I said. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning.
We'll see you tomorrow morning. That's great.
Hare Ball.
You'll see me up. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, I'm going to go for now. I'm so tired. Hare Krishna.